Okay. Well, let's while we're waiting to see if we can pull this off with some slides, let's open with a word of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, it's good to be together today. And this has been a powerful, for me, experience of sitting in the Proverbs for this many weeks. We are here because as a people, God, we desire wisdom. We see its value. We know we want to hear her voice. And we ask that you would use this time to open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear her voice and to take deep within us her truths so we could follow her paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okie doke. Well, good to see everybody. Welcome. Are we rocking? Jeff Luffman, you are amazing. Thank you so much. So much. So we are week 5. Of this 6-week class, which I know for some of you, you're like, it feels like week 10, but it's not. It's week 5. We're almost done. About wisdom, tell me some things, like if this is anyone's first week, what would those of you that have been around, what would you want them to know going into the lecture, or this teaching today? Like, what are things you need to know about wisdom? If you haven't been here yet, what were the things you need to know? What would you say? Wisdom is personified as a woman in the scriptures, and you hear about her voice calling out. You're going to see today how she spreads a feast. So we kind of have joked about the fact that many of us who are in relationships with women find them to actually also be the wise ones, but it is not an exclusively female trait. Wisdom is personified as a woman in the Hebrew scriptures. What else? Your wisdom has nothing to do with grades. It doesn't have anything to do with IQ. It's not about like how fast your brain fires. It's not processing speed. Wisdom has nothing to do with your talent or what school you went to or whether or not you got good or bad grades. Wisdom is something else. Wisdom is a way of living in the world that is vital so you can have your eyes clear, your heart open, and be fully alive. And it doesn't matter if you didn't go to college or went to college. Wisdom is not the least bit intimidated by the people in the room that have lots of letters after their names or by the people who went to the best schools. Wisdom doesn't care about that. Wisdom's interested in something else. And there's no ceiling on wisdom, is there? Like, there's some things you can only kind of get so far. There's like a terminal degree. You can only get so good at baseball. But with wisdom, I don't know why I'm picking sports metaphors. You can tell they don't work for me because I put them out there. And wisdom is something that you can continue to gain and accrue across the entirety of your life. Through wisdom, you can get younger as you get older. You can be more alive than you've ever been, even while your body is failing. Come on! What else would you say about wisdom? What's that? Wisdom's a little sassy. So you find this voice in the text where wisdom has this kind of swagger. And it's not arrogance. It's just sort of like, are you going to listen to me or not? You really think you know better? Have a nice time with that, you know? We talked about last week how, or I think I just did, wisdom is like old school Dr. Phil. How's that working out for you, right? That's wisdom's attitude. And so the voice can sometimes, we identified, sound critical or like wisdom is kind of shaming even. It's not what it is. What you're picking up on is kind of the sass. Wisdom is not coddling you. Wisdom isn't here to hold your hand and make you feel good, like you're special or whatever. Wisdom is like, do you want to live this way or not? I'm going to show you how to do it. I will give you a path. But you have to choose to walk it. No one can choose it for you. What anything else that you would tell somebody, hey, going into this class is what you need to know about wisdom? That was a pretty good list. All right, that's good. All right, well, today we are going to do the class that I think I am the most excited about, just in terms of, like, this whole thing has been something I've been really passionate about teaching, but this is the one that like unlocked some stuff for me. that I can't wait to share with you, and I hope you'll relate to it. I think you will. And this is cool. And oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Who told me about this? Who talked about wisdomists? Somebody talked about. Oh yeah, it was Lou. Talked about how they used to talk about. It was your husband, right? So her son called his grandfather the wisdomist. Isn't that the best word? I love is the wisdomist. That is so brilliant. Like, don't we all kind of want that? May I be the wisdomist? And can you see, like, with wisdom, there's no ego in that statement. It's not like, may I be the smartest person in the room. That's the path of the fool. The fool is the one that thinks they've got it all together and have nothing to learn. The path of wisdom is about, oh, may I have wisdom. May I have just that sense of humility. May I have this sense of knowing where to put my steps and what matters and what doesn't. Last week, we talked about the news, and we talked about how to engage the news and ways that are helpful and ways that are not. And so I want to invite you just to turn to your neighbor just for a minute or two and share either, was there something that changed about your experience of the news this week? If you were here last week, what was something that kind of resonated with you, or did you pay attention to it in a different way based on our discussions? If not, if you weren't here, or if you just read a proverb and said, what's something from a proverb that stuck out to you? And then finally, if you're maybe first time this week or you didn't do any of it, you were here 2 weeks ago and now you're back this week, hey, just what's one question you're bringing to class today about wisdom, about this? So just turn to the people next to you and share for just a moment. If you know the people next to you, turn to the people behind you and introduce yourself. All right, so tell me one thing that was different about the news for you this week. Anybody have an experience of that they would share? Something that they thought about or considered? Yeah, Julian. So she's saying they just didn't talk about the news as much as they usually do. Yeah, they're like you set the governor switch on that stuff. You know, we don't. Do we need that much? Exactly. I'll tell you, for me, it wasn't a news outlet. It was my Facebook feed. There are some people that are toxic on there, and I was like, I need to not watch that, and I need to X them out. Now, what I realized is there was somebody I went and It's a long story. I went to their page because they're toxic, which is another thing. And they had unfriended me. I was like, oh, man, I'm that guy in their life. So, the Lord will provide. Oh, my goodness. Here I raise my Ebenezer. What's a question somebody has today that they're here with? How do you get wisdom? How do you get, it's kind of the question in the heart. And I hadn't actually planned on answering it, but let me just kind of speak to that for a second. Remember we talked about the first week of class, how there are these paths, and one path is the path of the fool, and then there's the path of the wise, and how wisdom's calling out in the streets. And one of the things, and we're going to talk about the fool actually at length in a moment. One of the things about the fool is the fool doesn't think they need wisdom. They already think they know everything. The fool can't be corrected, right? The fool is like, I got it all. I alone can handle this. There's nothing I can learn here. And so if you come here finding yourself wanting wisdom, you're already going to find it because you're not the fool. You are here seeking it. If you desire it, that's all that is required because it is being broadcast all the time. It can cultivate ears to listen. You want to be reflective. You know, what can I learn from this? What's the lesson to learn right here? But don't be afraid that this is not Gnosticism. This is not like some secret knowledge that's out there that you have to figure out how to find and then you can be really spiritual. Wisdom is earthy. It's about your bones and your skin and your soul. It is something that you can have now, today. You've already got a lot of it. Are you listening to it and filtering it? So it's like it starts to change your worldview. Thank you for asking that question, Elizabeth. That's actually really helpful to be able to say. So this doesn't come off like some sort of, Da Vinci Code something. So this week, I want to talk about the simple and the prudent. And right, your response already lets me know you are hearing these words like I hear them. You know? Listen to this. So here's wisdom, Proverbs 9. Wisdom says, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink my wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Okay, so here's the thing. First off, simplicity in the Proverbs is not desirable. Right? Doesn't that kind of fly in the face of what we think? Like, we use the word simple, we're like, yeah, it's like, we're paring down, sustainable, real simple, everything's so complicated, keep it simple, right? But in the Proverbs, you're walking away from simplicity. Wisdom is calling you out of simplicity. Wisdom is for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Proverbs 8, you who are simple gain prudence. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Proverbs 14, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The prudent all see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Okay, so like, simplicity is not good in the Proverbs. And yet this other thing called prudence is. It is desirable. It is what you want. And what's funny is when we use the word prudent, it does not have a positive connotation, right? Sometimes we talk about someone who's a prude, like they're uptight, you know, like, oh, prude, you know. Or if we use prudence, I mean, we have to rely on like a 25-year-old Saturday Night Live reference where Dana Carvey was impersonating the president. Like, that was the best I could do, right? So like, which is actually funny, I thought it was the church lady, and I was like, oh, no, he's doing Ross Perot. Oh, no, it was Bush. I couldn't even remember who he was doing. So, but prudence, like, we don't use this word frequently, and yet in the Proverbs, over and over again, it's paired with simplicity. Proverb, the word for proverb it's Masal. And it means, again, like, comparison, to place beside. which interestingly enough is also what parable means in Aramaic. But what you do with comparisons is you're putting one thing over against another. And in the wisdom tradition, simple and prudent are always paired together. So what do these words mean? Who are these people, right? So let me give you a sense. I appreciate that. But there's never been a truer statement. So this is a commentary on the Proverbs by Derek Kidner. I've pulled a lot of stuff from here. And let me read to you. So foolishness in the Proverbs, the fool, has lots of different forms, okay? Let me read to you some of what they're saying about the fool. And I'm going to put up a whole bunch of verses. I'm going to be like kind of quick quoting these verses while this reads, but you got to hear this because it's so, so helpful. So it says, for the fool. So the fool seems to mean one who is dull and obstinate, but it must always be remembered that Proverbs has in mind a person's chosen outlook rather than their mental equipment. All right? So foolishness is about how you choose to see the world. It's not about whether you're smart or not or you know, have a learning disability. It's not about that. It's about how you choose to see the world. We are shown the fool first as he is in himself and then second in society. So the fool in yourself, the fool has no idea for a patient search for wisdom. Because he doesn't have the concentration for it. A fool's eyes are in the ends of the earth. They're always looking out somewhere else. They're not paying attention. Basically, the fool is like always saying, like, squirrel? Like, what? Like, they can't pay attention to gain wisdom. The fool imagines that wisdom will be handed out to him over the counter. Why does the fool offer the sage a fee when he has no mind to learn? And so, he laps up his opinions unreflectingly and pours them out freely, unaware that he is only displaying his folly as a trader spreads out his goods. His wise remarks either fall flat or turn round on him. But the fool will never realize this, for he cannot imagine himself mistaken. Because a rebuke enters deep into a discerning man than 100 stripes into the fool. Right? So the root of the trouble for the fool is spiritual and not mental. He likes his folly. Going back, it's like, another proverb, like a dog returning to its vomit. The fool has no reverence for I didn't put that one up there. Reverence for the truth. The fool has no reverence for the truth, preferring comfortable illusions. At the bottom of the whole thing, what the fool is rejecting is the fear of the Lord, and which constitutes him a fool. And this shall make his complacency tragic, for the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. Okay? So, oh my gosh, right? Do you know people that are like this? Right? This is like, I feel like I'm reading this and I'm like, this is like working with my kids, you know? Like, oh my goodness, it's so hard. And I mean, it's brilliant how Kidner lays it out. But the thing is that one of the characters in this that is also known as the fool are the simple. The simple are also fools. And this is what he says about the simple. The Hebrew word for simple is peti. And the verb formed from this word, like our verb to fool, means to deceive and seduce. So the simple are seducible. They are deceivable, right? Okay. Accordingly, it's the kind of person who is easily led, gullible, or silly. They are naive. The simple believes everything, but the prudent looks where they're going. The simple are morally are willful and irresponsible. The waywardness of the simple shall slay them. Because of the simpleton's lazy thoughtlessness, they may need a visual aid to bring them to repentance. If the simple refuses it, he will graduate to a more serious condition. For one does not stay still. A man who is empty-headed will end up wrong-headed. In fact, to the truly empty-headed, those whom the proverb calls, there's a Hebrew word, senseless, folly is fun. They have nothing better to do. than chase after vanities. In short, the simple and his elder brother, the fool, they're no half-wit. He is a person whose instability could be rectified, but who prefers not to accept discipline in the school of wisdom. Dude, right? Oh my goodness. So the simple then, okay, like you get this character sketch of somebody that is choosing a way of life that will not face facts or truth or the reality that's happening. They will not listen to the consequences of their actions. They continue to willfully choose that which is ignorant under the guise that they've got nothing to learn. Like, this is the path. And so you see how the simple believe anything, but the prudent give thoughts to their steps. So the simple are easily deceived. They're easily seduced. They can, whatever comes their way, they just buy whatever is being sold to them. They're not thoughtful. They're not discerning. They're not asking critical questions about the simple. When it comes your way, just, oh, yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, an easily taken off track. They kind of just believe whatever comes, whereas the prudent are giving thought to their steps. And it's so funny because the way that we grow is when we're asking questions about that which we've been handed, the worldview, the system that we're in. But if you don't ever ask, you never grow. And the simple are people that never grow. How many religious systems do you know that are like that? Right? Then also, okay, the simple, they just react. All right? So I love this. The fools, or the simple, show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. So the simple people are people that get offended easy. They just fire off their mouth. They aren't thinking. They just like, rah, they just react, right? There's the simple don't know which things to take in and listen to and be offended by and which things just to let roll off your back, right? But the prudent are like, can take the 30,000 foot view. The prudent know, oh, I don't want to be like that. I know Jim said that thing about my cassock, but I don't have to listen to it. He's just being Jim. It's fine, right? But like, don't you all know people that like, they're always ready to be offended, their blood's ready to get up, they're slight, and like, look, this is the simple, this is the way of the fool. So the fool and the simple just react, okay? Now, this is where it gets so interesting. The simple then are compared and contrasted with the prudent, okay? So the prudent, the word in Hebrew is orma, right? And it means subtlety, and it means nuance, right? And this is, oh my gosh, this is so good. So basically, in the wisdom tradition, you could say the voice of wisdom is calling out saying, I'm here to give subtlety to the naive, right? I'm here to give complexity to the oversimplified, all right? This is why in this tradition, the simple, you see, they're so easily seduced, you know, money, sex, power, belonging, whatever it is. They're seduced by the easy answer because they fall for easy answers and overly simplified ideas. But the prudent are those that understand that in reality, there's depth and there's complexity and there's ambiguity, okay? Now, here is where it starts to get awesome, all right? We live in a culture that worships at the altar of the simple. Do we not? Do we not have a culture that is so obsessed with sound bites and binaries, and if you can grasp it, if you can't grasp it, like it, purchase it, Snapchat it, mock it, Facebook it, then we're not interested, right? We're not interested. We have a culture that's moving very fast, and we're looking for instantaneous responses to things. Boil it all the complexity down to one silver bullet that's going to fix the whole thing. Does life work like that? Right? Does your life work like that? Right? No, it doesn't. But the simple, our culture loves it, right? In business and commerce, can we just convince people to buy it? Can we just get them to buy it? Let's not ask, is it good for them? Is it good for the world? Is it ethically produced? Is it helping the communities that are making it so other communities can consume it? That doesn't matter. Those are prudent questions. The simple is just like, can we get them to put some money down? right? Religion, we talked about this. Don't ask questions, right? How many religious systems are built around don't ask questions, keep it simple. You're not allowed to have doubts. You're not allowed to have any sort of like push into ambiguity. If there's a party line, it's very, very simple. Here's what it is, and just deal with it, right? Like fundamentalism in religious systems is basically about the suppression of the prudent. It's about the suppression of ambiguity. It's like, this is how it is, this is how it goes, it's very, like, and you don't question it, you tout the party line, and if you don't, we will punish you by kicking you out of the tribe, or whatever it is, right? Family systems do this. There are things we can talk about in this family, and there are things we can't, right? People know this, right? But our family systems are extremely complicated. The simple love, yes or no questions, right? Take an incredibly complicated idea, and then let's put some pundits on TV, on cable news talking about it, and they're going to boil it down. What's the yes or no question? Senator, I'm asking you a yes or no question. And then like the senator might be like, I don't know, this is kind of a complex issue. We need a lot of, just tell me yes or no. It's a simple question, right? And you're like, well, no. And now the senator looks like a doofus, right? Because when you have a culture that worships at the altar of the simple, those that are being prudent, those that are acknowledging the complexity of things, those that are trying to guard their path and take wise steps, well, they look like they're just moving too slow. They look like they don't have any backbone. They look like they are just, they can't stand up for anything. They look like they've sold out, right? And yet, they might be following a path of wisdom. This is something, okay, I'm going to move this. This is what I started to realize that was, and this was so helpful to me when I became rector of St. Paul's. Because I had been an associate at a church before, and like when you're the associate, your kind of influence in the community and in the system is really different. You know, there's usually a crew of people that are connected to you, but you're kind of there to kind of serve the larger vision and the rector. And like I had all these opinions and ideas, and I'd watched people in ministry, and you kind of hear the criticisms around the edges when you're young in ministry that are like, you know, when people kind of make their way up the food chain and if they become like, you know, in charge of churches like St. Paul's, well, then you lose your backbone. They totally sell out because they're just about, I don't know, whatever it is, the money, the prestige, whatever the things are that they think we're about. And so I had, like, carried some of this with me, I think. Has anybody been or heard the old adage about if you go to the ordination of a bishop and all the other bishops come around and lay hands on them and they ask, what are they doing? And people are like, they're tearing his spine out, right? Right? And we kind of chuckle because we're like, oh, yeah. But here's the thing. This is what I realized. When I became rector of this system, all of a sudden, the stuff that came to me and my desk was like, the hardest, most complicated, most fraught with complexity kind of circumstances in the whole church. Like, it's kind of like when you go to Starbucks and you give them your gift card and, like, it's not working in the register, and what do they have to do? I need to go get a manager, right? Because the higher things click up the food chain, the harder it is to solve, right? And so I came into this job, and I was like, being faced with all these issues, and there would be things sometimes it was just sort of like, I don't know, what's the best move here? You know, this is an interesting thought. But sometimes it was like really complicated issues that I had strong feelings about and I had personal beliefs about, but I would be like, but I can't just kind of foist that on the system because there's all these people here that, you know, have these other views and we're like this really big tent. And so I started to find myself really early on worrying, have I sold out? Did I lose my spine becoming rector of St. Paul's? Am I like here because, you know, I don't know, I just, you know, was big steeple chasing, you know, and now I've got it, and I have to do anything to kind of maintain my influence in the system because my primary value is just making people happy. Like, I internalized this, and people that were frustrated with me because I would make a choice that they didn't like, which is, you'll be surprised, happens here. Or they would be asking for something, and I wouldn't give them what they want. They would be irritated with me, and they would be mad that I wasn't moving fast enough, or I was moving too fast, or it's too slow, right? All of this was happening, and this is what helped unlock that for me, because I'm like, oh, no, what's happened is when I stepped into this job, I had to develop a greater capacity for wisdom. I had to be more prudent. It's easy to fire off what you think on Facebook, right? It's really hard to be in community with a lot of people that have a lot of different thoughts, right? And the path of wisdom was this path of prudence. It was like acknowledging all the complexities and trying to make wise choices, which means I'm moving a half step slower sometimes, right? And I'm watching people nod. Some of you that are in leadership positions of large systems and institutions, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you have all of these competing interests and constituencies and people that are around, and they've all got opinions about everything, and they want to tell you how to do your job. And Tom, it's just simple. It's just an easy black and white thing, but you're like, it's not simple, because I know a lot of stuff you don't know. And I have to take all of that into account. That is not something you have to apologize for. Moving slowly because of that isn't something that makes you spineless or weak or you have no values or backbone. It means you have wisdom. And you can own it, and you don't have to apologize for it, and you can embrace it because it's from God. Simplicity is like, just make a snap decision. Do it quick. It's easy. Boiling a complex issue down to a monocausal solution is the path of the fool. Don't be a fool. Be prudent. Are you with me on this? Now I'm kind of preaching. Oh, my God. Okay. So, but oh, my gosh. It's so, like, it's been so, oh, it's so liberating for me. I was like, oh, that's what this is. That's why this is so hard. That's why this is difficult. Yeah, okay. So, if you want to know more about that, I was going to say, you should ask Lyons about what it's like to work in government, right? At that point, like, that's where you are. And those, I mean, anyway, there's lots of this kind of stuff in there. And then there's this. So have you ever heard this sentiment where someone's like, ah, it was a simpler time, right? Like, what's behind that sentiment feels like a longing. I mean, we all kind of deconstruct. There was no simpler time. There was no time that wasn't fraught with difficulties. Like, there isn't a time, it's always complicated, right? But what's behind that sentiment is a desire to flee from the real complexities of life, from the things that are hard, to be like, it was a simpler time when everything was clear. The only reason it was clear then is because you're standing here now. It wasn't clear to them ever. They didn't know how to do this. They had to make it here. And so anytime we feel like that, we are being seduced, right? There's a voice of wisdom that's like, here's wisdom. And then there's this other voice that's like, hey, buddy, I got another idea for you, right? Like, we're being seduced, called into that, because to long for that, it's a simpler time. You know what that is? That is you walking away from wisdom, because wisdom is the path of the prudent and the complex and acknowledges the ambiguity and the difficulties of it. This is a fantasy that leads you in the path of the fool. Come on. Okay, so, all right, so just really quick, what do we do with this? Oh my gosh, I had so much else to say. I read too much out of the book. It's okay. For anybody that's here that feels like they are in constant need of wisdom because of the ambiguities that they face in their life, if there's anybody here that feels like, shouldn't I have all this figured out by now, right? I'm a grown person, and I still am having all this struggle, and it seems like I just kind of thought when I got older I'd be able to make more clear decisions definitively, quickly, be a leader, right? Anybody that's feeling like that, I want to tell you, stop. You do not have to feel that way. That is not a path that you have to have, because it's not the path of wisdom. That kind of sentiment, that is self-defeating self-criticism, is not something that's going to lead you into life. Here's what's going to lead you into life. First, when things are difficult and complex, how toxic has it been for you when some leader rushes in and overly simplifies it, right? It's totally destructive, you know? So Lyons has some sort of, like, I don't know, whatever's going on, this political thing, and he calls me up and he's like, Dixon, I need some pastoral care. And I'm like, it's really simple, Lyons. You got to stand for something or you fall for anything, right? That, oh my gosh, like, total, it would destroy your soul, right? right? If somebody comes up, when leaders charge in or people come in, like, telling you it's supposed to be simple, it's totally, totally destructive. So here's what we need to do for each other. What you need to do if you're a leader and you're working with people, or if you're just kind of in life and you're in communities, when somebody is dealing with the complexities of things, the way to start finding wisdom, the path to wisdom, is to come up and say, yeah, that's really hard, right? Empathy, number one. Elizabeth, I've heard what you're saying. That is tough, right? That is hard. I'm not giving her advice. We might get to that, right? We may workshop some ideas. First foremost, I don't tell her it's pretty simple. It's black or white. It's a yes or no, right? Because that is going to kill it. So we start with, oh my gosh, yes, that is totally hard. That is totally hard. Second thing, wisdom has set a feast for us, right? Which means there is more than enough to go around. Whatever you are dealing with, whatever struggle you've got, whatever you are kind of wrangling with and trying to make a wise choice about, there is wisdom for you. There is. There is enough. We live, wisdom sets a feast for us because there's more than enough. We live in a fundamentally abundant universe where there is enough, okay? So remember, I love this mantra coming out of the parable of the prodigal son, right? Where it's the older brother that's watching the lavish grace that's being given to the younger son, and he's bitter about it, right? Which is a sermon for another time. And the father turns to him, which is the God character, and says, my son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. There is enough wisdom. There is enough grace. There is enough for you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you have to make a choice about, whatever way you're being called on the path of prudence, there's enough for you. There is not scarcity. There's abundance. You will find it. And sometimes you find it, and I might talk about this next week, easier ways. People have written books on this stuff. Like, whatever you're facing, somebody probably wrote a book on it, right? There are people that can help you find it. I mean, we used to have the village elder, right, that you could go to and, like, who've accrued prudence. That's John Shields for me, like, 60% of the time. I wanted him to be there when I made that joke. So remember, there's enough, and there is all that I have is yours, and the path to freedom and wisdom, as anybody that's in the recovery movement will tell you, it always starts when you're at the end of yourself, when you think, oh, I don't have all the answers. I need some wisdom here. Now you are ready to be wise. Now you are ready for prudence. Now you're ready for wisdom. So this week, here's what you get to do. Where's a situation that you need prudence? Where do you need to acknowledge the complexity? Or, if you're like me, what are like the 40 different things that are super complex and you need to take your time with each one and take a moment to breathe and say, what's the path of wisdom here? Take as long as you need. The prudent aren't going to rush you. The simple are rushing you, right? Take as long as you need. And then remember to breathe, because there is enough. There is enough for you. There is wisdom to be had. Wisdom's usually in the room with you. It's just about listening and finding it, okay? So let's pray. God, we want wisdom, and we're in this culture that just worships the simple. And everything just seems so, it's maddening, because we know it's not truth. We know it's not how things are. So help us to find the path of prudence. Help us not to be seduced by the way of the simple. And help us to find the end of ourselves, so we are open to a power greater than us, which is you and your wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, I plan to have question time. I didn't get to. Next week, we're going to finish. We're going to talk about being rooted. It's going to be awesome.